The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
Every click, every search, every deleted photo leaves a trace. If that trace could talk, Rach, it would tell a story you never planned to share.
And there are people who can get those traces to open up. Digital detectives who can rebuild secrets from the dust we shed online every day. That idea keeps me up.
This is the front line you and I keep mapping. The unseen world of digital forensics and cybercrime. And yes, quick wave outward. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rachel. Back to you. When I hit delete, I want it to mean gone. But you're about to tell me it mostly means set aside, aren't you?
Not gone, reassigned. Those are different, and the difference is the whole story. Investigators start by refusing to touch the original device. Ever.
So they don't open the laptop and poke around?
Nope. They make a bit-for-bit image, a perfect duplicate, and seal the original as evidence. It's about integrity. Investigate without changing a single atom of the dataset.
All right. But how do you prove the copy is truly identical? I've had files glitch, just dragging them across a folder.
You stamp both with a digital fingerprint, a hash. Run, say, SHA-256 on the original, then on the image. If the strings match, you've got math, not trust, certifying authenticity.
So the chain of custody stands on arithmetic. I like that. Where do they look first once the image is cleaned?
In the places that look empty. Unallocated space. The sections marked available. Deleting a file just takes its name off the guest list. The guest often lingers until someone else takes the seat.
So, the supposedly vanished stuff, the embarrassing, the incriminating, can be recovered from that limbo.
Exactly. And sometimes it changes cases. Think of Neil Entwistle. Investigators dug up his search history, including queries about, quoting here, how to kill people.
I hate how personal that feels. Finding a document is one thing. Finding intent in a string of searches hits harder.
Which drops us into the legal thicket. In the UK, seizures run under the PACE Act. Here, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act draws a line I'm a little pedantic about.
Between what? And don't bury the lead this time.
Between stored and in-transit communications. An email sitting still is one category. Grabbing it mid-flight is another. The latter is treated as a deeper intrusion, which means higher hurdles for a warrant.
So, the very same message flips from easier to harder to obtain, depending on timing. Annoyingly elegant and consequential.
Right. And even if you clear the legal bar, there's a wall that can halt everything.
Encryption.
Encryption. Think suspect's diary, but in a language no one can read, and the only dictionary lives in one head. Modern ciphers, AES-256, for example, are designed so the key space is astronomical. Roughly 78 digits of possibilities.
Which makes just brute force it a fantasy. We'd be waiting longer than the universe has existed.
By several billion years. So if you can't crack the door, you hunt for the key.
Where do you even look? People don't label files "my password super secret" anymore.
Sometimes they do, but the most valuable copy can flash through live memory. While a device is on, the decryption key often resides in RAM, so the system can function. Capture that at the right moment, and you've got a shot.
How do you capture RAM? That sounds like trying to bottle steam.
With timing, and a trick called a cold boot attack. Power off doesn't erase memory instantly. Bits decay over seconds or minutes. Cool them, and the pattern lingers a little longer.
Hold on. Say that again. They literally chill the hardware?
They do. Field teams have flipped a can of compressed air and blast-cooled the memory sticks to freeze the state just long enough to copy it. It's a very physical answer to a purely digital lock.
That image is wild and kind of thrilling. But miss the window, and the key dissolves, right?
Gone for good, and the data stays sealed, which feeds the going dark fight you and I keep circling.
The one where investigators argue that unbreakable encryption lets terrible people operate beyond reach.
And their ask is a special access path, a backdoor. the FBI famously wanted Apple to build an altered iPhone system to unlock the San Bernardino shooter's device.
And the counterargument is simple but brutal. You can't make a door only heroes can use. Build a master key, and it becomes a vulnerability. Hackers, hostile states, take your pick. It weakens everyone's security.
That's the impasse. Privacy and personal safety on one side, investigative capability and public safety on the other. Both vital, often incompatible.
Fine, that's annoyingly fair. So when the device is locked and the math won't budge, what's left for the person actually holding the warrant?
You pivot from machines to people. If the cryptography won't fail, aim at the human layer. Look for the sticky note under a keyboard, patterns across other accounts, hints from interviews. Pressure meets psychology.
After all the sci-fi talk, cold boots, hashes, the answer might still be a password scribbled on a receipt. Depressingly human.
And consistently true. We build digital fortresses, then leave a spare key in a very human place.
The permanence gets me more. Unallocated space means our deletions are more like hiding places. The past lingers. It's how the BTK killer tripped himself up. Metadata on a floppy, pull the thread back to him.
We're also trusting that whole archive to companies and standards most of us don't really understand. We want perfect privacy, and we also want police to pierce it on demand. That's the unresolved tension.
You can't have both. Not cleanly.
Not with today's tools. So we're stuck in an arms race. Stronger locks, sharper forensics. Better hiding, better hunting. And I did not expect the technical half to be the fun half. But here I am, fully invested.
Same. It's sobering and weirdly fascinating to realize we live on that invisible battlefield every day.
So, before we shut our laptops, maybe think twice about what you click and what you think you've erased.
And what you choose to keep, intentionally or by accident.
And I'm Mark. Next time, let's peel back another layer.